Welcome to Praise God. I'm Arrested and Free with your host, Julianne Harris, a show based on the Word of God and the promises of God's undying love for you. Now your host and the sheriff's daughter, Julianne Harris.
Hello, good morning. It is November 17th in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Julianne Harris, and praise God, I'm arrested and free. I'm arrested by God's goodness, His grace, His love, and His mercy. And I've been set free from anxiety and fear and pain and discontentment and all the negative things that happens to us in life. I've been set free from. And I want to send a special thanks to my dad in northeastern Montana, who is the sheriff. So yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. So, you know, we've been going on about the law, and I want to reiterate the point just a few more times, and I'm so glad you've tuned in today. So the Bible should really be split into three sections, or this is how I see it. So when I stand back in a macro perspective of the Bible, I see it in three sections. So the first section is that God was not imputing sin because there was no law. So sin was still in the world, but it was not being imputed because there was no law. So there was no set standard to say, don't do this, because it's not going to go well with you. And so then the second section would be when God brought the law through Moses. And that is where God said, if you will just do this so that it goes well with you, because I can tell you what, the Israelites, before the law came, life was not going well for them. They were under bondage. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. I mean, things were not going well. So God says, if you just do these things, it will go well with you. If you will remember me, if you will keep my words in your hearts and your minds and in front of you and in your mouths, then it will go well with you. So God brought the law, and that changed how he dealt with people, how he dealt with the Israelites, mind you. And then we have the third section of the Bible, which is the New Covenant, that is built on better promises, and that Jesus came and fulfilled everything there is, that every shortcoming we have, every sin we've ever committed, God sent Jesus, who died on the cross for every sin and everything we've ever done, so that we can live a victorious life. So right now, the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about why God brought the law. So I'm going to recap those because I want this to be set in stone in your hearts, folks, just like the law that was engraven in stones. I want this to be engraven in the stone of your heart. Wait, I hope you don't have a stone for a heart, because honestly, what you believe about God will determine whether or not your heart is a stone. You know, if you believe that God is letting things happen to you or putting things on you to teach you a lesson, you're going to have a stone for a heart, because nobody wants that. But once you understand the goodness of God, that God is love, that he created you while you were being formed in your mother's belly, he knew you. Man, that will soften any heart of stone. So praise God. God, why did God bring the law? I'm going to recap. Why did God bring the law? Anybody know the answer? Okay. He brought the law to slow down sin and to have a people set apart. God just wants to show his goodness throughout the earth. And, you know, at this point in time, there was no Jesus. There was no way to be saved. God was unable to show his goodness throughout the earth unless it was like a man here or there, you know? So, like, Abraham was blessed abundantly. So, so, so blessed. And that was what God was wanting to do for an entire people. So that's what he did. And it was based on a promise that he made to Abraham, saying, through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So praise God for that. That is why God brought the law. He also brought the law because of transgression. He needed to slow down sin, because at the rate that the earth was going, that human beings, that mankind was going, they were destroying themselves. And had he not brought the law and slowed down sin in some way or another, there would not have been a virgin left for Jesus to come through. I really truly believe that in my heart of hearts. And then one more question. Who was the law intended for? Who was it intended for? Was it intended for the little 5 and 6 year old kids that go to Bible school? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand why I learned the Ten Commandments in Bible school growing up. But see, here's what it did. It set me on a track thinking that God was dealing with me based on these Ten Commandments, based on whether or not I adhered to these Ten Commandments. Because if I didn't, and Lord knows I didn't, then God must be mad at me, right? That's what is portrayed to children in children's church. And I'm telling you, it's wrong because I was there. And it made me have a wrong image of who God is. Instead, what we should be sharing with children is God loves you. And you know what? You shouldn't lie because it's not going to go well with you when you do that. You know, and granted, little kids can't understand that. So I can understand the law. It's like a schoolmaster. And that's what it actually talks about in Galatians. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to something else. But see, the majority of people have lived under this schoolmaster thinking that God is dealing with you based on whether or not you obey these set of 10 laws. And it's not true. So I'm going to get a little more in depth again today. So I want you to put on your thinking cap. I know it's kind of early, but you can do it. Maybe pour yourself another cup of coffee and then you will start tracking with me. So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 through 29 really is clear about the function of the law. And it was really brought to show a need for a savior. The law was never intended to justify. It was meant for us to say, oh my goodness, I can't do this. I can no way in my own strength live by this law perfectly. I need a savior. And then God says, perfect. That's exactly where I want you to be. And let me introduce you to my son, Jesus, who became a man, who left all of his deity and all of his godship, and he came into this earth as a man. Even though he was 100% God, he was 100% man, and he took all punishment and all payment for sin into his body so that you and I could be right with God. Period. It's a divine exchange. It's a great exchange. And if you've never believed in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you've never confessed with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, then you're not saved. That's the only way to be saved, folks. There is only one true living God, and Jesus came to die so that you can have a perfect relationship with him. So if you've not done that, I would encourage you to do it today. There's no time to waste. Do you know that you know that you know where you're going to go if you don't wake up in the morning? Just food for thought. I know because I believe on Jesus, not because of anything I've done or haven't done, but because I believe on Jesus. I know where I'm going to go when I die. Praise God. So Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 16. This is very important because we're talking about the law, remember? We're talking about this holy standard that God brought. And remember, Moses brought it to the whole nation of Israel. And what did they say? They said all with one voice, whatever the Lord commandeth, we shall do. Well, they were deceiving themselves just like they deceive themselves in a lot of areas, just like you and I deceive ourselves in many, many areas. They could never do it. They were never going to be able to do it, and God knew it. So here, let's look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Wow. You know what that says? And some of you, you know, I would read another translation, but, you know, King James was good enough for the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to use that was a joke. If you're, you know, anywho, that whole little scripture there is summed up at the end. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Did you understand that even for the Israelites that obeyed the law, and they may have obeyed it really, really well, do you know that didn't even justify them in God's sight? It was their heart towards God. And you can look at that through the life of David. We haven't even touched on David. My goodness. David had a heart after God. It says that David was a man after God's own heart. And I'm getting on this little side note here, but I just want to clarify that David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a man of war. He's about as contrary, when you look at his physical actions, he's about as contrary as you can possibly get from who God is. And so how come the Bible would say that he is a man after God's own heart? Well, I'll tell you why. Because every time David missed it, and he did a lot, every time he missed it, you know what he would do? He was seeking God's heart, and God's heart is forgiveness and love. And David never said, you know what? But I've done all this and this and this right, God. David would say, God, I've sinned against you and you alone. Even though he had wreaked havoc on other people's lives, he had this repentive heart. This repentive heart. And that is what God was looking for. And I really think through the law, that's what God was trying to draw out of the Israelites as well, is to have some sort of a repentive heart. And the Israelites were a stiff-necked, stubborn people. And we saw that as they're coming out of Egypt. And the whole process, and you know, it gets to the point where they're like, we can't go into the land. You know, there's giants in the land. And God says, I've already given you the land because, like I mentioned a couple episodes ago, the supernatural things that happened with all the plagues and the curses that came on the Egyptians in order to free the Israelites had set them up for victory. They could have walked into the land, just like God said, into the land that I have given you. It wasn't that I'm going to give to you. He'd already given it to them because he had set them up for victory. Man, I'm telling you guys, somebody is listening to this right now, and God has already caused the victory in your life. But you are limiting him because you're not understanding the true nature of God. You're not understanding who God really is. And he's already given you the victory. You just need to walk into it. If you're not able to hear the rest of this episode, I want you to give me a call, 970-919-0459, or send me a message on my ministry website, which is juliesministry.org, or find me on Facebook at Arrested and Free. God has already given you the victory, just like he had done for the Israelites, but they didn't know it. They didn't know who God was. They couldn't see who he was, even though he was showing them goodness every single day of their life. After he leads them out of Egypt, he's leading them by clouds, by supernatural light, by fire, by smoke. I mean, it's unimaginable the greatness and the good things that God is showing to these people. And then they get to a land that God has said over and over and over again, I'm taking you to a land that I have given you. And 12 of them go out and search the land, and only two of them have a positive report. And only two of them were like, hey, we can do this. God's already given it to us. He is well able, because guess what? They were looking at all these supernatural things that had happened to them thus far. That's pretty amazing. But there was 10 out of them, out of the 12, there was 10 out of the 12 that were like, oh no, we can't do it. Because see, they didn't see the goodness of God in all those plagues, in all the things that happened from the time that they left Egypt. And before they even left Egypt, I mean, there was like 3 days of complete darkness in Egypt. But meanwhile, there was actually daylight inside the homes of the Israelites. You guys, our God is a supernatural God. And he is not wanting for any of us to fail. He wants nothing but good for each of us. He has already given you the victory. But do you believe he's a good God? Just like my mom, and I've talked about her a couple episodes ago, she had a great opportunity to question God's goodness, but she didn't. And so it didn't matter what it looked like. She knew that God had the victory in each of her children's lives. Even though she had lost that one child, that was like the line in the sand. That was the stake in the ground. She was like, the devil is not going to steal from me ever, ever, ever again. And my children will follow God. My children will seek after God's will for their life. And guess what? We are each fulfilling what she knew in her heart God had already set into motion. She was like a bulldog or something. She was like latched onto that thing. She wasn't letting go. And praise God for it. My life is a testimony to the goodness of God. So we're back to the law. I seem to get sidetracked. But here's the deal. God is a good God. And if you don't view him in the correct context, if you don't view him correctly, you can look at the law and you can look at it as a very bad thing. Because that's the next section that I'm going to move into, where the law works the wrath of God. So once again, and this is just even in a natural sense, if you break the law, say you go, and I've used this episodes and episodes ago, but say you're driving in a school zone, okay, little kids chasing the balls across the road, all this stuff. If you go 80 miles an hour in a school zone and there's no posted sign, how many of you know that's a dangerous situation? A kid could run out. You could kill somebody very easily. if you're driving 80 miles an hour next to a whole bunch of kids playing. So let's look at that as a sin, okay? So sin is still happening, but it's not imputed until a law comes. Now you have a posted sign that says 15 mile an hour zone. This is a school zone. This is a whatever zone. Now you drive 80 miles an hour through there. Guess what? You are breaking a law because there's actually a law in place now. And guess what is going to happen after you break that law and you get pulled over? You're going to experience wrath. You're going to experience somebody imposing penalty for breaking that law. You were living dangerously. You were potentially doing stuff bad, but now there's a law posted. Now you're going to experience wrath because you broke that law. See, it's so clear, you guys, and we got to understand this so that when we look in the second section of the Bible that I've been talking about, where after Moses brings the law, the Israelites enter into this covenant with God, and now we see an instantaneous change in the way God deals with the people because he was trying to slow down sin, and he was trying to have a people set apart, and he was also trying to get the people realize that they needed a savior. Man, we can so deceive ourselves to think that we are okay, that we are a good person, that, you know, I give at least $5 a week to a homeless person. How could God deny me going into heaven? I'm a good person. I've never done anything. Sure, I've lied. Sure, I've committed adultery, but I'm really a good person. Look, people, God is saying, this is my standard. And Jesus is the only one that fulfilled my standard. And unless you believe on Jesus, your standard is dung. I just wanted to use that word. I don't even know why dung came to mind, but it is. It's dung. And if Paul, the Apostle Paul, can use that word, I can use that word on a Christian radio show. So all you religious folk out there that is like, no, oh no, she just did not just say dung. I can use that because Paul says all of his accolades, all the stuff that he had done, he considers dung. So there you go. Back to the point here. So the law was not intended to justify. Galatians 2:16 says that no man is justified by the law. So the law was never intended to justify. I keep saying that. That was never God's intention. He was never going to say, you obey the laws, now I love you, or something like that. No, God's always been love. He's done all this out of love. But there is a distinct change in what happens once the law comes, because once again, the law works wrath. And so I want to show you that in the scripture. If you've never seen it, this is what I want you to see it. So in Romans chapter 4, verse 15, it says it right here, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So I've just been talking about that, but here's the deal. You are going to experience wrath, and the law worked the wrath of God even, because God was trying to slow down sin. And, you know, sometimes there's only a certain way that you can make it very clear, and that's through wrath. I'm not saying to beat your kids or whatever, but, you know, if you try to explain to a one-year-old that, you know, he shouldn't do something, and then you try to give all this logic and all this reasoning behind, you know, the spiritualized verbiage of why this child shouldn't do something, he's not going to understand you. But you say, you do that again, and I'm going to give you a spanking. That's pretty easy. And that's really what God was doing. That's how he had to deal with the Israelites, because guess what? They had not really adhered to anything. I mean, they talked about their God and the father of their, you know, father Abraham and all this stuff, but they really did not have a personal relationship with God. They were unable to. So they didn't know who God was. So all of a sudden, God implements the law. The Israelites say, sure, we can do it. No problemo. And then let's look at what happens to the first violator of the law. Numbers chapter 15, verses 32. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. So this was against God's law. God implemented, he said, you need to rest on the Sabbath day, period. You don't do anything. You don't cook. You prepare everything on the sixth day, and on the seventh, on the Sabbath, it was to be a set apart holy day. So this guy gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him inward because it was not declared what should be done to him. So they were like, what do we do? He was working on the Sabbath. Oh my goodness, Aaron, Moses, what do we do? So they put him inward, and then basically Moses sought God about it. And in verse 35, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp." Now you're looking at it and you're going, oh my goodness, how is that love? Look, it was a covenant that they entered into because God had to slow down sin. It was like these wild, crazy hellions running around, and now God's implementing the law. So, you know, you even hear it in the court system, we're going to make an example out of you. That's really kind of how it worked right here. So you got to see it as love for the whole. Was it destructive for the man who picked up sticks? Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't a good day for him. However, in the big scheme of things, it was through love that God did this. But let's look at God's true nature. Once Jesus did come and there was a change, because Jesus, who is the express image of who God is, and in John 8, it talks about the woman who was caught in adultery. She was caught in adultery, and according to God's holy law, she was to be stoned and killed. And what does Jesus do? I don't have time because the show is coming to a close, but what does Jesus do at that point? He basically says, those who are without sin, cast the first stone to her, because they should have all stoned her. And one by one, they all walked away. And he says, nobody condemns you, neither do I. So praise God. I really had to kind of do a crash landing there, I feel like. But I want you to start thinking about who God is and what you're believing about God. And he is love. Even through the law, he is showing his love. So as you know, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And I just want to know, out of all the things in your life currently, what are you most thankful for? I really want to hear about it. So give me a call at 970-919-0459 or leave me a message on my ministry website at juliesministry.org. That's JulesMinistry.org. Or you can always go to my Facebook page at Arrested and Free. I would really want to hear what you're thankful for, what you're most thankful for. Today's scripture I have for you is Galatians 3, verse 28, and it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If you believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are blessed and you are loved." So make sure and tune in next week on KRDO News Radio at 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And I pray you all have a wonderful week. Bye.
I know, you are the reason why, the world's so beautiful.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Hi, I'm Julianne Harris with Praise God, I'm Arrested and Free here on KRDO on Saturdays at 6 a.m. Are you aware that God has laws and rules? Ouch, we don't like laws and rules, do we? But you know what? Jesus fulfilled every law and rule. If you want to hear about these laws and rules and the reason God brought them, it's not anything that you ever heard in church. Tune in next week to KRDO News Radio at 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, or 92.5 FM. Talk to you then.